Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I am Wayne Cavanaugh, and sitting right next to me on a computer in Canada is
Will Alexander, and it's warm here on this side of the camera.
Well, we got a hot and toasty show for you too today, folks. We're going to talk a bit about how this heat and weather is affecting our dog shows, and a little bit touch on doodles and how you can be a better diplomat about purebred dogs. And I guess we really had a good time talking off air, and we're going to continue it in this show, talking about how we sometimes have put the images on Facebook and photographs in front of the real thing. We're going to talk about the real thing and seeing it and learning about why it's so important to our sport. We'll be right back with the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sin.
Well, William, here we are again.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful world. And I know you've been busy. You've been running around running around your nation there doing stuff.
Yeah, we had a 7-day dog show this week in Dorchester, and it was put together by the Monarch Kennel Club and the Elgin Kennel Club, and they did a fabulous job. But my God, 7 days in a row in that heat was hard on you. It really was.
What was the temperature?
It was about 40, which is what in yours? It's what? Double it and add 30, 80, almost 110. And that was, that's how it felt. I forget what the actual temperature was, but that was what it felt with Humidex.
Yeah, that's extraordinary.
So it was crazy. But I'll tell you, everybody worked hard to keep their dogs cool. We had a break at the last 2 days. It broke for us, and then it was cooler. But I'll tell you that Mike and Sandy and Ron, Mike and Sandy Jelena and Ron Mahan, they put on the dog show. And they worked their butts off to keep us all cool and keep things going. So, but it was fun seeing everybody.
If we're going to have, I don't want to get into the politics of why, but if we're going to have more hot days like this, especially up your way, geez, you don't expect it, you know. And we had it here.
We didn't. Our igloos, they fell apart.
Their igloos have got to be melting. There's got to be flooding around the igloos. It's got to be terrible. How are you going to skate?
And the women's one, Canada's national women's team won world hockey gold yesterday in overtime against you guys.
Did the Americans not? That's right. Because we had to send only our players up there that couldn't make it over the border. So we played.
Well, I think you're playing here.
Wasn't that the? Hey, we have to let you win something. You can't win the damn cup. You can't win the gold medal. Oh. You got to win something. You know?
There were more Canadian players on Tampa Bay than there was on Montreal Canadiens.
Sure. Who's your star player on the Maple Leafs?
John Tavares from Peterborough, Ontario.
Wouldn't be awesome, Matthews from, I believe it's Arizona.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting off course. It never happens, but we never get distracted. This is amazing. Anyway, these hot shows are an issue. And, the clubs are they're so good at getting ice out and getting these fans. And what did we ever do before Ryobi fans?
Well,
the lime green fans are everywhere.
This may cause problems, but we had when I worked for Gary McDonald, we had a truckload of dogs. We had no air conditioning. We didn't have the roof. We just had fans.
Yeah.
And there was never, it was never an issue. It was never, as it's gotten so much hotter in the past 30 years.
Oh, it sure has. I can tell you here in Kalamazoo, we moved here, I guess it was 20 some years ago. There were 3 snowmobile shops here in town. There are none.
Yeah.
And we had a plowman that was on contract. He was constantly in our house. The last couple of years, we barely had him. I used to feel bad and send him Christmas money. I knew he had truck payments to make, But there are going to have to be some adjustments. The dog show people in the clubs have done a great job. I think the, these misting fans and the little Ryobis that clip on the crates.
Oh, they're amazing. Amazing Ryobi fans.
Amazing little fans.
They last for like 6 hours.
Incredible. Yeah, those new batteries, the bigger and better ones are getting better, bigger and better. And I know Brody borrows mine when he goes camping. And he said, "Oh, Dad, the big battery lasts me all weekend if I'm just, if I only use it here and there." And
when you need it,
We didn't have that stuff in the past, so all's well. I do wonder, what do you think, Will, if we have them in real cold air conditioning and then we run out into the ring. Yeah, and then bring them back into the club. Right. Are they going to like that or going to feel it?
No, maybe they're going to feel it harder on them. I try to acclimatize my dogs. And even when I had the unit on top of my truck, which I don't anymore, I tried to make the temperature not so outrageously, not like a refrigerator, yeah, because they fade fast. I remember being at the Irish Center National one time, and everybody was rushing back to keep the dogs in the air conditioning. And I kept my dog under a tree with a fan. And I'll tell you, he lasted all day long. It worked well. But I do what, like, I was taught by Garrett Lambert, you know, electrolytes and B12, yes, and those things keep your dog in the summer, keep him stress-free and keep his electrolytes up. And it makes a huge difference. It really does.
Yeah, it does. Well, I think we're pretty darn good stewards of keeping all that straight at dog shows. It's rare that we have an incident.
Yeah.
As it should be. So did you see any new dogs or any new people, any visitors, people coming across the border?
No, I didn't have anybody across the border. It was all Canadians. And they did a very good job of not recycling judges, because we were running into that issue that the Ontario judges were all being used up. But they did a good job bringing new people in. They flew some people in from out west, and they did a good job that way. And we had a couple of national specialties there, so it was fun. The French Bulldogs had their national specialty. The Dobermans had a specialty there. It was a good weekend. Great Danes. I guess there were some Americans that came from the Great Dane National.
Yeah.
But it was fun seeing all the dogs there, and it wasn't dominated by one single dog all week. There was different dogs winning best in shows and reserve best in shows. Yeah. And the quality was very good. It was a very competitive show. Like that, I want to say Carol Graham did best in show the one night. And I don't know if you know who Carol is, but Carol is a very prominent handler up here. Now she's an all breed judge, and she's a poodle breeder, and she has one of the top non sporting dogs in the country. But she went on to say how strong the best show lineup was. You know, so it was nice to hear from her. And she's been all over the world, so she's seen them all. So
that's great.
I like hearing that.
I know, it is nice, isn't it? And you never know where it's going to happen.
She even stopped us in the sporting group before she pointed the placements and told us what a lovely sporting group it was. It's nice. The people like hearing that, because we had a full sporting group this weekend for Canada. Like, it was wrapped around the ring. We had a lot of breeds represented. It was really nice to see. But I'll tell you, we were in a small town in Dorchester, which is right near London, Ontario, and we all went out to dinner each night, and then we went to this ice cream parlor. We're all out having our ice cream, and this couple walked by, and they had a Boykin Spaniel.
A Boykin?
And they came over, because we were all talking, and they were flabbergasted when we said, "Oh, that's a Boykin Spaniel." Because no one has ever told them that before. They had a boy. They knew they had a Boykin Spaniel, but no one had ever recognized it. You know?
Isn't that funny? So you had all these people all the rest of their life. They said, "We can't find one person who knew. We found a bunch that knew." That's pretty cool.
It was so funny, though. The look on the young girl's face was, "You know what he is?"
Yeah. We happen to have three wire hair pointing Griffons in town, and I see them at the park. And the first time I've met each one, I'd go, "What a beautiful Griffon." And then, "What? How did you?" It's not that hard. It really isn't that hard.
It's the same thing. I remember walking through Rockwood, Ontario, and this woman was walking a Carillion Bear Dog.
Wow.
I said, "Where did you get that Carillion Bear Dog?" She's like, "How did you know it was a Carillion Bear Dog?"
And did you say, "I know where you got it. You got it from Belter."
Exactly.
Who else has Carillion Bear Dog?
Dare to be rare.
That's right. Well, we do have a pretty good eclectic mix of purebred dogs here. We're in New York City. We used to see them all, of course, you know. But out here, we do see quite a good range of breeds. I can tell you, we don't see a lot of French Bulldogs and the breeds you would typically see in the cities. Mm-hmm. Very popular breeds and great little house dogs. We don't see as many here. We see, I guess there's more land and more outdoor things. So we do see a lot of retrievers. We do see our share of doodles, unfortunately or fortunately. But it's always amazing to me when I walk Killian, I would say 90% of the time, people say, "Is that an Irish Wolfhound?" And I'm always amazed. And I always say, "Have you ever seen one?" And they say, "No, first one." But there must be something in just the social fabric, the literature. Maybe it's Harry Potter. I don't know what it is, but I'm always amazed that people know what he is.
You
know?
Well, I think it's important that this happens. I'm thrilled to death that this young couple went out and got a Boykin Spaniel. Yes. They could have just gone and got a Labrador. Like, they must have done their homework and decided what they wanted. I think there's only like one breeder in Canada, and they found them.
That's so cool.
Got a Boykin Spaniel. But I think it's important that we get the awareness of the purebred dogs.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make it more prominent, but I really think we have to do that before these designer breeds completely take over and no one wants a purebred dog. Like people say they want Labradors. Have they ever met a Barbet or even a Legato? Those breeds are those are wonderful breeds, and they have guarantees that they're healthy. You're not going
to
get that.
And to me, the big thing is you can meet the breeder, you can meet the sire and dam, and those are people that are experts in their breed. You can call them. You know, if you buy a dog from a pet shop, who are you going to call if you have a problem with it or a question about that breed?
Yeah, they might not be beyond that night. I bought it from a girl named Laura.
Right, in a parking lot, yeah. Or are you going to call the store help at Pets, wherever it is, the pet shops? But there's something about that connection with the breeder that's so essential. And we have got to do, it's easy to look at the AKC. It's easy to look at a lot of things where things could improve and should improve. And that's fine. But, John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Yeah. And in our case, for our country, our sport, we can be diplomats. So when we go to the park and someone says to me, is that a Newfoundoodle? I can say, no, actually, I can either get upset and go, what a jerk, and laugh at him.
Yeah.
Or I can say, hey, great question. Actually, it's a wolfhound, an Irish wolfhound. Let me tell you a little about the breed. And if you give that minute, that stuff's infectious. That goes through. It's just like your receptionist having the right tone with 500 employees behind you. That's going to be the point of contact. That's going to be the reputation that's going to be left in their head. And if you can do that patiently and kindly, and when someone asks if your pointer is a Dalmatian, don't be rude. Just say, no, actually, there's a difference, and they're both wonderful breeds. This is about my pointer or my Dalmatian, whatever. And
once they find out how far back the history goes on some of these breeds, they start to get interested.
Yes, they do. They do. If they get invested in the story, I met a guy at the park who wanted an Airedale, and he's seen me walk our beagles and wolfhounds there. So he just took a shot and said, anybody had Airedales? And we talked about the history of the breed. He had done his homework. He knew all kinds of stuff. He even knew they hunted with them, birds, hunted game birds. So it was, they're out there. We just have to be more diplomatic and patient and talk to them. And yes, you're going to get the people who curse at you and say, you're a heathen for having a purebred dog and you should neuter it and all that. I think I've had that once.
Yeah. I think once you explain to them why you have one, they tend to, unless there's some, I don't want to say crazies out there, but some people that are a little over the top, you don't always run into those, but once they realize why you have this dog, and my grandparents had English Cocker Spaniels, and then I had English Cocker Spaniels two generations later. It was in our family, and I think it's important that they know the history of these breeds rather than just the Labradors non-allergenic,
Yeah. I think the key is, Will, don't tease them for having a doodle.
Right, right.
Teach them the benefits of having a purebred dog. And I would love to tell them, hey, by the way, the one thing I don't like about the whole doodle thing is that you did not get a great poodle and a great golden that were health tested, temperament tested and raised right to get your puppy. I can't imagine that. I would say the vast, vast majority of the time. Who's going to sell you a poodle or a golden of good quality that's been health tested to go make doodles? So you're getting them from the bottom of the barrel in a lot of cases. You're getting from auctions. Now there are exceptions. I understand that there are people seriously doing this. Hats off if that's what you do. But I just wonder if the majority aren't coming from, people are just plugging them to make a couple bucks and there's no health testing.
I picked up a Pomsky and brought it up to Canada.
What's the ski part?
husky.
Oh my.
Exactly. So the guy paid $8,000 American for it. And I just shook my head at him, you know. It was cute as a button. I'll give him that. It was like it looked like a little party colored palm almost, a little bit bigger, but it had that cute little face on it.
Well, you know, they have Alaskan Klieg eyes, and that's a miniature Siberian Husky, supposedly. Mm-hmm. So they may look like them, but they don't act like them. I'm sure they're wonderful ones. I've not met the friendly one yet, but I'm sure they're out there. So hold your cards and letters. But it takes more than doing something like that to make a dog that's consistently going to be thing. Well, we're preaching to the choir, right? But we know what our dogs are going to act like. We know what they're going to do.
No question.
We know what's going to bother them.
They act differently.
Yeah. So it's and again. I don't want to make this into a bash thing at all. Just the opposite. Be diplomats.
Just an awareness.
Don't go tell them you shouldn't have a doodle. You know why? They love their doodle.
Oh, exactly. They love their dog. There's no question.
Absolutely. And it's not ours to judge, but it is ours to educate.
Right. Education is the key.
And I can tell you what I do. I've got a neighbor that we got a poodle for from your client.
Barbara.
Yeah, standard poodle. And, it's a great dog. Great dog.
They're a wonderful breed.
If we're out and about and I see them, I'll say, hey, that's a really nice golden doodle. You know, our neighbor has a standard poodle. Did you ever see one of those? And talk to them about that breed. Without dissing their breed, I bring it over to poodles and say, hey, if you ever need, you know, I give them my card. If you ever need any questions on poodles, maybe I can help you out, you know? And or goldens, you know.
Right.
But there's a way to do that that's not confrontational, and we need to be more aware of that.
Yeah.
It's too dismissive. I see people all the time writing posts about some idiot thought my whatever was whatever. Well, why are they idiots? You haven't taught them any better yet.
Right.
And you know, I don't know the ballet terms.
But to go at them, and that's the problem, is a lot of people will go at them antagonistically and then put everybody back on their heels. And then that's why they hate some of us. So. Yeah,
it's true. We have to come off the elitist soapbox once in a while. In fact, all of the while. If we didn't make it so hard for them to buy a puppy, in the first place, they wouldn't probably go rush and get a doodle, but that's another topic for another day.
You know what? I will say what happened to me. It was cool today. I showed a Japanese chin today. It was just a ringside dog for a lovely young lady, and her two daughters were there. And this was their first show dog, and they were so thrilled. Like, this lady was thrilled to have this dog. She'd done some winning with it herself, and for some reason, the breeder's a very famous breeder up here in the breed. And she had wanted me to try the dog the one day. So I said I would try the dog. It was a lovely dog. We won the breed. But I was talking to two young girls, and they were about maybe 8 and 6. Well, they want a dog now. They want they each want to have their own breed now to start showing, because they've been loving it so much. And it made me feel good that these two young girls wanted to start showing dogs. They had so much fun with their mom with this one dog.
That's great.
And they were there all weekend long.
Oh, that's so cool. And, you know, people don't like kids and strollers and all that at shows, but come on, you know, this is how you get hooked.
I talked
to so many people that said their parents took them to a dog show just for something to do on a Saturday afternoon, and they fell in love with the sport. And we just have to be, if we're worried about shrinking, we need to be more diplomatic. And by the way, you touched on this last week, but I wanted to touch on it again because I've seen so many posts recently about this. Somebody had a great one. It's an Irish Setter person who said, you know, these are my pets. Here they are in bed with me. These are my pets. Other people's dogs are their pets too. How do you think they feel when they hear somebody shredding the dog that they love? They know it's not going to win the garden, but it's a good enough dog.
Right.
And they do love it. You know, I mean, I know what my dogs are, and I know where their faults are. I don't need people to bash them for it, because they're my buddies, you know? If you're having a constructive talk about where they could use improvement, which dogs you prefer more.
Well, that's fine, exactly.
That's different. And critique should be this. You know, when we write critiques, and judging in Europe, you're going to get your share, and I love doing them. In fact, I had a moment once. I was in Ireland, visited a person's kennel, and on the refrigerator door, they had a critique I had written probably 10 years before on a pointer they had on the refrigerator door. Those things mean a lot. But when you learn to write them, you never say, I didn't like the front on my second place dog.
Right.
You say, I preferred the front assembly on my winner on the day. And if we could speak like that, it means more. It's more truthful. Saying it has a bad front doesn't teach anybody anything. But saying
and it comes off, everybody, again, people get back on their heels when they hear that.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah. And, you know, people don't like to be ostracized with their dog, even for a split second. It's not a good feeling. None of us want to be kicked out, because if we get kicked out of the herd, we're going to get eaten by the lion that's chasing the herd, right? We don't want to be the weakest one on the herd. So you don't want to get cast out there. You want to hang in the pack and feel welcomed. And, you know, our job is to feel that we're helping
people. I think I've touched on that before. That was something Mr. Eldridge taught me years ago. Stay positive. Three good things. No matter what dog walks in front of you, three good things.
Yep.
Sometimes you had to reach, but you found them. So,
you know, I wanted to mention, and of course, your interviews are fun to watch with the individual people. I watched Dr. Elliot Moore's last week, and actually I listened to it. And for people who don't have time to sit and watch a 1-hour video, it's an easy answer. You just turn on the volume on YouTube, plug it in your phone, and go. And when you're driving somewhere, it's not as fun as listening to Dog Show Drive when it will. Don't get me wrong. But you can, in pieces, hear little bits of those things.
Well, Dog puts my interviews on a podcast as well. So,
oh, there you go. Well, see, I did not even know that. The doc is the guy. He does all. Anyway.
He was there all weekend. He was choreographing all kinds of things all weekend.
I bet he was. Well, anyway, Elliot, and this is the thing about the sport of dogs. When did you meet Elliot? I don't know. We've always known each other. You know, we grew up in the same area. And listen to his interview reminded me. And by the way, his recall, he's a bright guy, but his recall of names and dates and times just blew my mind. You know, all those people he remembered was so thoughtful and kind. But we did grow up in the heyday of New England. The East Coast and the United States in those years, 70s and 80s, even 60s, they were just something really special, maybe 60s and 70s, where you had, we had the Forsythes, Ted Young, Bill Traynor, and so many other great handlers that all were competing head-to-head with great dogs and big strings and big clients. And Elliot said something that I thought was interesting. When you asked him about apprenticing handlers, he said that, and it's true, when you were an apprentice for Bob and Jane, everybody knew who you were. You were there for a while, first of all.
Yeah.
And you were running all over the place. You were everywhere. And you had so many little tasks within the task, slowing rings down, calling for the photographer to buy 5 minutes for Jane to get there. Tell him to take a pee break. You got to know everybody and they got to know you. And it really helped support this network of people. And I think the big point, when he was saying that, I thought one of the reasons is we went to the same shows every weekend. We didn't ever leave our area. All of us. Everyone was at the same show. So when you're with the exact same group of people, you know, we had Peter Green. We had just so many great people, the best of the best. All traveling together in the same general area.
They make each other
area.
Better.
Well, absolutely. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to bring your best dogs in, and you've got to be able to present them better. It helps, you know, playing against better tennis players. You'll learn to play better tennis. But because we were all together as a big chunk of people up and down the coast, we were at the same shows every weekend. Well, the shows were 4,000 dogs. They were big anyway, 3,000, 2,500 probably average back then. It really did set a different tone. And now when you're flying all over the country, you never know where anybody's going to be. People are double, triple enter just in case to lose one Friday in Peoria. Right. They can be in Santa Barbara on Sunday and back to New York on Monday. Different world. You know, it's a different world. And it changes the temperature a little bit. But he said something else that I found interesting, and I wonder how people reacted to it. He said that type and sound, he said he hears people saying the type and sound are sort of the same thing. And he disagreed with that. And I have a third option. I agree with Elliot. I think they're separate. But I think the type and movement is the same.
I agree.
Because if you have the right breed type, you're going to have those characteristics in motion. Go,
right. Like an Irish
head carriage, tail carriage, top line, tail action.
Yep.
All length of stride. Those things are all part of breed type. So while coming and going and being sound in body and legs and mind are different topics, I do think that type and movement are inseparable, are overlapping circles that can't be dismissed individually.
It's amazing you said that. I mean, we talked about Jeannie. I was showing an English setter to Jeannie one time, and it was a nice dog, but it was a little fancier. And she went on, and she did something for the dog. I don't remember, but then afterwards, when I get in the photo, she said, "I really liked him, but she was a little Irish settery up front."
Yeah,
so, you know. And then when she put a breed on my other breed,
yes,
to explain it.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, we understood what she was trying to say.
Well, I say that about pointers these days. I said they're a little Irish settery, and I mean an outline. Yeah. And I'm not talking about straight front over done behind, although that's part of it. But just overall, you know, more and more slope to their top line and more angles and more exaggerated. Sometimes we have great pointers right now. Don't get me wrong. But I sometimes will say a pointer looks a little too settery for me, an Irish setter.
Well, when she said it to me, I understood exactly right away what she meant. I knew exactly what she was trying to tell me. Yeah. You know, she liked her, but she was a little Irish setter here up front.
Yeah. And Jeannie wasn't, you know, she wasn't a poet. She didn't have this wonderful ability to describe in detail all these beautiful things that some people can say and write about. But it went to making her, when it came to making her point, she had a way. Yeah. And that way rang a bell, and it really sat with you.
That's a good piece of dog flesh, Will.
You can learn a lot in 1 minute.
I remember being on the table one time, and she was telling you that she was got to go check this dog piece of dog flesh out. You got to see this dog. Well, it's just the way, and it made you want to go see the dog because she was. Yeah. She said it wasn't quite ready to win, but you've got to go see it. You know,
isn't that fun? Yeah. We had Frank Kane and I when we worked at Crufts all those years. Yeah, if Frank said, and it was so busy there, it was so hard to get from ring to ring. It's so crowded. And I mean, just even with the crew making way for us, the lights and the cameras and the whole group, you still couldn't get anywhere. But it didn't matter. If Frank said, there's a really good standard schnauzer coming up, I'd go, we'd get there. And if I said, hey, there's a really good Brocco Italiano, whatever it might be, you know, that's when you have that kind of, kinship and I, where you know if he tells me he wants to see it, I'm going to go see it. And that's part of the fun of discovering these new dogs and being at these shows. And it can happen at a 500 dog show, and it can happen at a 5,000 dog show. I'd prefer they all were 5,000 dog shows. Right.
But, you know, like up here, we obviously don't get those size. We've never had those size of shows. Yeah. Our biggest shows back in our heyday were 12 to 1500 dogs. Yeah. And those were big shows for us. And we were excited to see them.
Yeah.
And I always loved it. When we had the Royal Winter Fair show 1 year, it was a big deal. And everybody came to it. This was like, it was back in the day, it was a sportsman show, but this was in the late 90s. And they had a show that went along with what we call our Royal Winter Fair. And Peter was there, and Jimmy was there, and it was was exciting times for us. And that was our heyday of dog shows. And when those guys came up to join us, it made it even more fun. I remember when Jimmy came up and won the show of shows with Manhattan. Well, we were all just thrilled to see him. You know, it made the whole weekend to see that dog in action. You know, that was way before cell phones and you watch videos. It was, so you only saw the ads. So it wasn't even so much how good the dog was. It was how good the team was. And
that's something you can't see
Right.
And on Facebook, you can't see in a video, you can't see in a photograph. You're right, Will. And I wonder if we've, you know, we've, unfortunately, maybe we've taken that element out. We overload our images in our head with false imagery instead of seeing the dog and the person working together and seeing that.
Right.
That's a good point, Will.
You can do all the Photoshop you want, but no one's going to explain to you Chris Terrell and Pepsi. You know, no one's going to let you see that together.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you can make, oh, look how beautiful they photoshopped this dog. I'll hang it in my, in my dining room. It's such a beautiful picture. But the thought of seeing Chris and that dog together, that made all the difference in the world. Yeah. You're giving me goosebumps now. We're talking about this stuff.
I know. It's so cool. And it happens today. But you just have to know, you have to be there. And you have to understand how to appreciate it. It's like someone who hasn't studied necessarily impressionism, taking to see the Monet water lilies. So they say, oh, just a picture of Monet's water lilies. No, it's nothing. You have to be there and experiencing it, right, and see it, right, like MoMA wrapped around all four walls. You just have to see it. And learning how to see, learning how to stop and appreciate and really see is so important. And I wonder if we've just microwave timed it by giving you 30 seconds on Facebook to make that decision.
I really think we have. Like you, even going far back as DJ Adam and James, like people say, oh, they'll look at the pictures and go, well, you know, he doesn't look there. For his time, he was well above average. And then with the combination of Clint and him, it was magic. It was magic.
It was magic.
So it's not like, I don't like when I see people say, oh, that old-fashioned. Well, old-fashioned is usually correct, but things progress. It's like evolution of everything. Everything's progressed. But that actual image, I'm sure that if you talk to somebody that was actually there with Clint when all this happened, it was magic to them to watch those two work. You know,
I may have told you this, but DJ was his call name.
Yeah.
And Mickey Prickett owned him. And we were at dinner, Tom Bradley and I and Karen Miller Prickett back then, she and Mickey were in a small restaurant in New England, and DJ was in the van, but not for long. We were sitting at the table, and he walked in the back kitchen door and sat right next to Mickey. That dog had character and charisma and brains like you can't even believe.
And there's no picture to tell you that. Yeah.
There's no picture. There's nothing that would show you that. Nothing.
Special that dog was. That picture is just not going to tell you. You need to or had to experience it. And we have dogs like that. Like a picture came up on the cross Facebook the other day, and it was an Afghan dog in the 70s. And let's face it, they've changed a lot, and they carry more hair back then, and they weren't trimmed. But I remember seeing that dog when I was a kid, and he was so exciting just because the way he carried himself. Now, I look back at the picture and think, well, that's him. But I remember seeing him. No, it was actually a dog named Amber Hall's Aquarius.
Oh, okay. I remember the Afghan on Desert when the Janie showed.
Well, they're very similar in type to Aquarius. Big red dog. And my old boss showed him. This is way before I was like 10 or 11 when he showed this dog. And I think he was top down like 3 years in a row. And Gary used to say, well, he's got a head like a bucket, but he came to show. When you saw Gar show back then, I was just a kid. But when you saw him, he had such presence about him even for back then that you had to watch him. You look at the pictures and go, well, he really wasn't that much, but when I was a kid, he was that much. He filled my dreams, and I wanted to show a dog like that, you know?
Absolutely. That's so funny, Will. You just brought up some old memories for me. I was a kid. It was the garden when class dogs were there in the main, or you know, right on the ice. And I was walking by my dad, and I saw this big, beautiful, hairy Afghan in the open dog class. And I ran to get Janie because I discovered this. She just smiled and she goes, we already bought him. She didn't even ask. I didn't have to. I said, it's this dog. She goes, we know. We already bought him for Mrs. Porter. And the funny part of that is, if you've worked for Bob and Janie, and I'll bet Elliot will tell you he's done it. I think almost everyone there got their shot. Holly Hill Desert Wind, I believe, lived to be 2 million years old because everybody who worked there scraped his stinky teeth. Because at Janie's, it was nails, teeth, and ears every week. And that bugger, he lived at the kennel. He lived at the kennel. He just wandered around when he retired, lived out his life, wandered around the grooming area half the time. And yeah, he always had to be bathed, brushed out, and his breath stunk. And he wasn't all that happy when he was 110 or whatever he was when I got there. But he was a great one.
And don't you love dogs like that, though?
Oh, he deserved all the adulation.
Yeah. And,
all the honor. No, he wasn't going to win anything under a breed specialist today, but in his day, he did a lot for the breed.
Right.
I'm not talking about as a contribution for his sire. I'm talking about the visibility he gave that breed.
Right.
And it got a lot of people interested in that breed.
I think Gar was the same way.
Yeah, he was the Canadian version for sure. Yeah,
so
yeah.
He just you wanted to hang out with him. You saw him. You thought he was such a cool dog. You wanted to hang out with him. Yeah. I was so little when I showed him in junior handling, I had to let go of his head to go back and set up his ass in. And you could never do that now, could you?
Right.
Stay. I walk over there and set up his ass in and go back to the front end.
It's true. But it was, you know, we did have that reign of dogs back there on the East Coast. Janie always had an Irish Setter that was going to win the sporting group.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. She'd get the next one when that one was done. It was just a line of them. And of course, Peter is going to win the Terrier group. And Bill Traynor had that when he had, and Elliot Moore, again, was talking about the Irish Water Spaniel, Dugan.
Oh, Dugan. One of my all-time favorite dogs. You know?
Yeah. And again, you'll never see his character in a video. Right. You'll never see it in a photograph,
and you can't explain when you saw him stand there at ringside and just look around as if he owned the place.
Yeah,
you know, it was. Yeah. And back then we weren't accustomed to Irish Water Spaniels. There's been a lot that have been, but they've all gone back to him basically.
Of course,
but when he came out and I saw him in Canada, you can't explain it. You know, it's and Ann Snelling and her Irish Water Spaniel, her Pekingese and her Springers. And, you just can't explain the feeling when you saw these special dogs.
Yeah, it was really
I'm afraid
amazing.
Our social media has taken that from us. I hate saying that. I live on social media too, but
it's true. The more I think about this, as you mentioned it, the more I'm thinking about how fleeting it is.
Yeah.
You know, to see that picture so fleeting And to see those dogs in the flesh and their bond with the person showing them, whether it be owner or handler, it was just, you know, it was really something special. And it's still there. You just have to go see it.
Right.
It's still there.
But when I was a kid and Tommy came up to the sportsman show with Major O'Shannon, it was
goosebumps.
Like, oh, my God, it was like the Beatles were here.
It's true. You know? It was better.
But now you can just Google it and look at it, and you look Google and go, Major O'Shannon, what are you so excited about? But I'm telling you.
You had to be there.
The air of the dog when he walked in the ring, it's like,
I remember the first time I saw him at the Garden and the breed ring with Tommy, and it was deep in Irish Setters that year. What a show they put on together. Even a video wouldn't show the tension in that room, the excitement, the way people's hair was just standing up on their arms. It was as if the dog had a spotlight on him and the rest of the building was dark. It was just unbelievable.
And you would watch every move that Tommy made. You'd watch how he put the ass end together, how he held the head up, and how he backed away. You cannot get that even on watching on TV. You can't get that same feeling.
And there was a group, you know, I wasn't there hardly often at all, if at all. But on the West Coast at the same time, we had Corky and that crew out there.
Right.
So many greats out there. In the Midwest, we had Dick Cooper. So there are parts of the country where this was happening over and over. You just had to be there and experience this.
When I was a kid, you look at Kennel Review, Corky was a movie star.
Yeah,
we absolutely. Never saw him because I never seen him. Never came to my end of the country, we're in Canada. But I see him in the pictures. He was a movie star.
Yeah, he was.
And he was Steve McQueen of the dog shows. You know, it was like I couldn't wait to meet him.
We can look back at dogs like Shamrock Acres Light Brigade, Labrador Retriever, Yellow Lab that Dick Cooper showed.
Dick Cooper showed.
And you can look at those pictures now and go, had to see that combination. Right. Wow. And he showed him like a pointer.
I only saw the pictures.
Yeah. Showed him like a pointer And he almost looked a little bit like a pointer. But what a combination to see. And yeah, those were things that you just had to be there to see. And I do remember, and I guess it's a bit like you going, you coming, or dogs from the States coming up your way. When we go down south on a circuit, which was rare, but if we went down on a circuit somewhere in, you know, the Carolinas or even Florida, those were people that I only read about.
Right.
You know, exactly. Well, those are people that I just read about. Houston Clark, you know, who's this guy? We get down there and go, oh, that's okay.
And it was magical. You'd watch everything they did. It's mm-hmm. like no one can see the picture behind me. Over my shoulder is a picture of Dick Cooper with Chance, Star Ayers, Aaron R.D. That dog, when I was a kid, was mythical.
Yeah.
He was mythical. A guy, mm-hmm. I never, ever met the dog, but that's why I have the picture. Actually, Judy sent me this picture, and it's... When I was growing up, that was mythical watching, thinking about Dick Cooper and Chance.
Somebody posted recently a picture of Dick Cooper with an Irish Setter and a dog food ad. I believe it was
Kennel Ration. Yeah, I think it was Kennel Ration. Yeah.
Kennel Biscuit,
maybe, yeah. And I have that. I saved it. I saw it. I saved it on my phone.
You know that's Aaron R.D., right?
Is that Chance?
Okay. And you know how I found out? What would you do if it was an Irish Setter and you had a question? Who would you call?
Ken Murray.
He was there. He was not only that. This is unbelievable. I mean, I ask him a simple question. Not only Ken knows all this stuff, but he knows it with all the side stories that are so much funnier.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He was there during the shoot. Ken was there during the shoot, sort of, and he was working for Dick then. And he, of course, spouted out his, this is crazy how Ken can do this. I'm going to make up a number. I think it was 43. Because he had 43 best in shows. What? I can't even find my phone. How do you remember that?
Well, the same with Ken. But he remembers. You see, he probably can't remember.
What's I'm talking about? Ken knows this stuff.
But oh yeah. My God, the things that come out of his head, his mouth. Yeah.
But he said it was Aaron R.D., 43 best in shows, I think, or whatever that number was.
Yeah.
He said still might be the top winning best in show Irish Setter male.
Male, I think he is Irish Setter male. Yeah.
But he also said, this is the details that Ken can add to a story. The first best in show that Ken Murray won was showing Aaron R.D.
Oh, wow.
And he got a $100, a savings bond or something, a $100 cash prize. And he knew the judge. He knew who else was in the ring. Ken just has that. It's amazing the trap that he has for a mind. It's like a steel leg trap that no one will never let go. He just knows that stuff cold. And fun to talk to about it. And he can tell you about those dogs in detail and what those combinations and character was like. And that's so much better than a picture of that. Because in the picture, quite frankly, in the ad, in Kennel Biscuit, looks like some dog off the street.
Just some dog, yeah. Some
they just dog. Have them, they put them in the end, just the worst pictures of them in there. But that's the kind of stuff that I think we miss by relying too much on the internet, Facebook, photographs, ads. We rely too much on that to make our opinions of a great dog.
And we can't judge them now with the Photoshop. Like I think I've told you before, when I was a kid, we get the papers, the dogs in Canada, the American Dog World one or whatever came out, and I would go through them and judge best dog on page.
Yeah.
Well, you actually saw that was actually the dog there. That was the dog. It wasn't.
They were never standing on a rock.
No,
never at the beach.
And there was never
sitting in front of a Ferrari. Right. No, they were
the dog. And then, like, I remember seeing Gold Rush Charlie for the first time in that picture. I don't know. When I was a kid, again, Bill Trainer was a sporting god.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw a picture of Gold Rush Charlie, and it was like 2 inches by 2 inches, like, there's Gold Rush Charlie.
That's right. And those pictures were about that big.
Yeah, you can't see it, but there he is.
In the Gazette, you had the best of the week. Best in shows, God, are we sounding old? Well, the best in shows are so infrequent and so wonderful that you got your picture in the Gazette. And the printed, back then, there was an AKC Gazette, people. It was printed, and it was the magazine we all couldn't wait to get. Breed column, but it still exists on the internet somewhere. I don't have any time for that, but the magazine was wonderful.
And I would wait by the mailbox. I would just miss those kind of days.
The one guy that had more repeat pictures than anybody I can think of was Porter Washington.
Ah, yes.
Was the Keys with the Keys Flaky, you know, what I can't think of the dog's name now, but Jackpot, Flaky Jackpot. There's a bunch of them.
And there's another character that was just mythical. Yes. To me. I never got to meet him. Maybe I never did
either. Yeah, I never did either. Mythical, right? But and there was a woman from the Midwest that had French Bulldogs. It might have been Elaine Rigdon. I think it might have been.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Who won like crazy with French. She had her picture in there a lot. Because the rest of them were all going to be Bill Trainer, Teddy, and Janie, you know, and but it was really fun. And Houston, well, there's, I'm missing 100 really good famous handlers. I hate to say those names over again.
Well, I used to love seeing the handler cards. You know, all the way down.
I had one.
Did you?
Yeah. Great cards. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember.
You know what my dad had, Will? Stud dog cards for the stud dog beagles.
Oh, that's perfect.
It was a picture of the dog on the front.
I love
the stud fee. I still have a couple. Stud fees were $35, by the way. I have my dad's assistant handler's license that I cherish. When he was an assistant handler to Ed Johnson, the great Beagle Man. That's a while ago. When I remember going to that kennel to go to work with my dad, and my dad was the apprentice to the famous Johnson's line, which is Johnson's Fancy Boots. You cite all the great ones that go back to the Dylan dogs from England, so or are behind those dogs. So much of that, and I don't want to sound like it's hindsight. It's just different that we're making our opinions based on different things, and I think that's too bad. You know, I hope. Yes, it's fun to see the pictures. Just remember, that's not the real dog.
That's right. They're beautiful portraits. Yes. They're beautiful. You want to hang them in your living room. But I'm telling you, nothing beats seeing, let even go back as marquee in in New York, you know,
lighten up the ring. Different.
Right. Oh. Central Park. They did a photo shoot of him in Central Park that's obviously not touched up. And it's just
beautiful.
He looks like
his head,
a lion on the pride and the right. It just. He knew how much better he thought he was.
When I see pictures of a dog standing there in a perfect stack with his head and tail perfectly held and his 4 feet perfectly in position in a field somewhere, I know there was a handler there once.
Right.
You're not fooling us, people.
Because if you look at that famous picture of Chance, it's in Central Park, and it's not perfect. It's not perfect. But he's leaning over his chest. He's looking down his nose like, here I am.
I'm the king. Yeah. Yeah, that was a great combo watching George and those guys. And so much fun. So much fun. Anyway, well, we want to get you down the road. I know, Will, you've got a busy weekend coming up with lots of shows. Fact check. We started doing fact checks a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I never do Will's mistakes because I don't want to embarrass him, but I'll do my own.
My mom calls me later and says, you know what you just said?
Well, you know, it was funny for a couple weeks there when you said we're available on Skecher. Remember? Sneakers.
That's a pair of shoes. Well, who knows? It could be like Air Jordans.
I'd go to dog shows and people were holding up these sneakers to their ears trying to listen to the podcast. No, not Skechers.
Like Maxwell Smart.
Exactly. But anyway, fact check for last week.
That much.
Last week, we were talking about fronts and leg proportions, and I said there's three breeds for sure, and then there's several others that talk about the length between the elbow and the ground and the elbow to the height. And I said, I can't believe I blew this one. This is an obvious one. I said, Clumber Spaniels are half and half, and of course they're not. I meant Welsh Springer Spaniels because we were just talking about those. So sorry for the malaprop, and I can't imagine it caused confusion because anyone who thinks that Clumber's supposed to have the same equal elbow to the ground, elbow to withers would be greatly.
Well, your lucky different. Mom doesn't have your number. She'd call you too.
She'd call you. That's right. Well, thank you very much, peoples. Thanks. And by the way, keep those letters and emails coming in. You know, we've had some great topics come up off those emails you've been sending in. So please, and if you want us to mention your name from where the idea came from, we'd be glad to. Just let us know that. I don't want to take a topic off of an email and attribute it to you if you don't want it to be attributed to you. Right. You know, just here's an idea we got from a listener. So keep those coming in. And is the dog show?
Want to talk.
Yeah. Right. It's the dog show. Well, it might be controversial.
Right.
And they don't want to get involved. But anyway, anything you want to send in, it's thedogshowdrive@gmail.com. Right. thedogshowdrive@gmail.com. Great. Well, it's been wonderful. Love chatting with you, bud. It's always good to catch up. Good luck at the show. You have another 7 coming up. Are you doing those too?
No. You're off. Taking good. A break this week.
Good.
My body.
Rest the bones.
My body is sore. I know.
I understand.
Count the days till I take my exam.
That's right. Where are you going to take it? You should leave it right where it is.
Right to the bank,
you
brother.
Throw it out right where it is. We should do a whole show on that, on all those differences of words. Beautiful. Anyway, thanks again, everyone. See you soon.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
Party on, Garth.
I'm born no run, way. Way.
Down rocky cliffs. Give me grace. Bury my sins.
Shattered glass. So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Thanks, Ernie.
Don't hold back.